you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Alexa, who is Adam Ferrara?
Adam Ferrara is an American actor and comedian known for playing the roles of Chief Needles Nelson on Rescue Me, Sergeant Frank Fiorelli opposite Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie. He was a co-host on the U.S. version of Top Gear. He has had three Comedy Central specials and his new album is called It's Scary in Here. Adam's new podcast is a big hit and available everywhere.
Sounds like it could be funny.
Sounds to me like 30 minutes you'll never get back.
It's showtime. We are so glad you guys are here because we have another great show for you this week. My guest in the ADD interview is comedian and the best warm-up guy in the business. He also hosts the Talking Sopranos tour, and he's my pal, Joey Cola. And we want to welcome everyone from our Talk to Me Tuesday family. That's our conversation we have every week, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join the conversation. And our super fan shout-out is for Imelda. Say hi to Imelda, everyone.
Hey, Imelda.
Imelda, how you doing?
How you doing, Imelda? Ah, look at it. Philip made it. Good. We're in another
pool. I'm here.
That's good.
I'm here, baby.
And Imelda sent us a lovely email. Honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
Yes, and that's what Imelda did. She went there and told us that our podcast brings her great comfort, and that made me feel good.
That's nice.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah, that's nice.
It's a nice word.
Yeah, comfort. Yeah, it brings me great friggin' anxiety, but it brings me great comfort.
But it brings her great comfort.
Her comfort. It brings me anxiety because I got to worry. Is Phil going to be here? Is he not going to be here? We're going to have to do it on this day because he's sailing around the world. And look at him. He's in a mood.
I'm not in a mood. I'm happy.
Oh, you're right. He's not in a mood. That's pleasant for Phil.
I'm in a great mood. Yeah. Life is good.
Yeah. That sentence ends with, you son of a bitch. I'm happy. I'm in a great mood.
Hey, I held it back.
I know. I saw it in your face.
Phil's like, I'm not in a mood. I'm in a mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on. Sorry, guys. I got a boat drill thing. Sorry.
Okay. While Phil sinks, we're going to go on.
Abandoned ship.
Yeah.
Abandoned ship.
Yeah. There's nothing to worry about, but just can all the women and children come to the left side of the boat? That's the higher side. Apparently, oh, we're man. Listing.
I'll never let go, Adam.
Yeah. I think I'd rather die. I really think.
Okay.
All right. Well, I'm in a good mood, too. I'm more happy for my wife because you nursed one of God's creatures back to health and it flew away. The dove is back in the wild where it belongs.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's and there was a lot of doubters, including you, Adam.
Yeah, well, I wasn't doubting. I was inconvenienced, and that bothers me.
I have to admit, well, I was looking for dove bird cages.
Yeah.
Like huge ones, because I didn't want it to be in a cage, but I knew it had to.
Yeah. Flying cages. They're like armoires. These big armoires she's getting for a dove.
They're called flying cages.
Yeah, flying cages. This is what I need now.
And then I was thinking, do I take it outside half the day, leave it outside, then bring it in? And I'm like, this might be a little problem.
Yeah. A French dove enclosure. That's what I need.
We have to think of everything.
So I'm driving home, right? And, you know, the dove is here. The dove's been here for almost a month, like just recuperating. So I get a text, all capitals. Bird flu. And right away, I'm thinking, oh, my God, my wife has the bird flu.
The avian flu. Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm like, now we got to deal with this. The pandemic wasn't enough. Now my wife has the bird flu. So I call her immediately, and she's on the phone. She's like, isn't it wonderful? I go, what's wonderful? You got the bird flu. She goes, no, the bird flu. I said, oh, the dove? Yeah. She brought the dove upstairs. One of the bedrooms upstairs opens up to a little deck on our roof. Mm-hmm. So my wife built the dove a little enclosure. And then she opened it up, and the dove saw his opportunity, and the dove actually said, I'm getting the hell out of here, and it flew.
That's not how it happened, Adam.
Go ahead.
What a shocker.
So I put the dove up. I read up on doves and how you release animals and all that. So they said they need to feel safe. And you have to wait till the dove perches high. Mm-hmm. That's your marker. So I made a little perch and I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, that's my signal. When the dove perches high, it's, you know, healed and it wants to fly. Mm-hmm. So I walked in the morning and I'm like, oh, the dove's high. Mm-hmm. Dove was just kind of looking at me like, okay, you can open the doors. Mm-hmm. So I opened both of the doors. I walked outside so it knew, you know, it wasn't like a mirror. Mm-hmm. And when I started walking back towards the room, it flew past me.
It did?
Uh-huh, through the trees.
Did it leave you a tip?
No tip.
No tip, nothing.
I was very happy and sad at the same time because I was getting attached to Dovey.
I know. But I know that feeling my wife has, I know she took great joy in that she could help the dove, but I knew you were sad that the dove left.
Yeah.
Well, I was living vicariously through this. I felt like I was part of this rescue team, even though I'm across the country, because Alex, you would send me the pictures of the dove and the setup, you know, and you're like, this is just, is beautiful. I mean, the dove was wounded and you could have turned your back on it and you didn't. And I love that. You know, that's just a great gesture of kindness.
Yeah. And then you would send him the pictures. And then at night I would call him going, this friggin' bird is still in my house.
I know. And I picture you like Adam every day coming home with your lunch pail after a hard day at the Comedy Factory. And you're just like looking at the dove. The dove's reading the newspaper. And you're like, did you find an apartment yet?
Yeah.
No, not today. Bring me beers. What do you got? Come on, let's go to get some beers.
It's like having a brother-in-law on the couch. That's what it's like.
I know.
See, I want to know why I didn't get this courteous send-off when I stayed there. It was like, get out! That's what it was like for me when I was...
Well, the dove didn't take a dump in my bathroom and stink the place out.
Now, why do you have to always go to my ass? Does every story have to end with something to do with my ass?
No, ends with what comes out of your ass and annoys others.
You know. Does Phil have handling instructions when you receive him? Does it say, do not feed him lentil soup ever?
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's when you know Phil has to go to the bathroom. He perches high.
Everyone get out of the way.
You get out of the way. Here it comes. It does. I love you no matter what you smell like.
Oh, stop it.
Or what he leaves behind.
Or what you leave behind. Honey, I love you. Animals and creatures and whatever. You got a nurse back to health and on. Stern, I love you. Even though you vomit on me.
That's tough to feel.
Every one of you people are out to get me. I don't know why I'm still here.
And stuff's coming out of two of us.
Yeah. And Adam still hasn't figured out that he's one of my animals I'm nursing back.
All right, that's good. Maybe I got to get that awareness too.
listen, guys, Adam comes in hot, but he's a softie. I want to read this to you. It's a very sweet. It's a card. I found it on the ledge from Dovey. I'm going to read to you. I can fly. Thank you for taking care of me. The guy was funny, but a little cranky. He tried not to say anything because he loves you. I promise not to shit on your car. Love, Dovey. See, Adam, you're a softy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Uh-huh. You might as well put Love, Santa.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm glad you're happy. I'm glad your creatures are safe. I'm glad you got a chance to care for the bird. My pal Joey Cola, he cares for birds too, but he cares for birds because he has a vendetta against ticks.
That's what we all.
I'm not making it up. He's such an Italian, and he's one of my dearest friends. So you guys listen to this, and we will see you on the other side.
What you need to consider doing if you find a baby bird. If you find baby birds that should be in the nest, we recommend that you collect that nest material, put it in a box, keep it warm in a quiet area of your home, and then watch that homemade nest very closely.
This friggin' bird is still in my house.
I know.
You're listening to the Adam Ferrara Podcast. This is 30 minutes you will never get back.
Can I go now?
You can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, you in Connecticut? I am. Yes, tonight, October 28th through October 30th, I am at the Comic Roadhouse at the Mohegan Sun Casino in Uncasville, Connecticut. December 2nd through the 4th, I am at Magoobie's Joke House in Timonium, Maryland. December 16th, I am at the Parks Casino in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And December 17th and 18th, I am at Levity Live in Nyack, New York. There's a link for tickets right here in the show notes, or you can go to my website and click the link there. And you know, if you make any of these gigs, I want to say thank you. Yes, I do. Thank you for all the love and support you've shown me and this podcast. All right, listen to Joey Cola.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
ADHD, it's not just for kids.
Nice boy, but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Welcome to the ADD interview. It's not that you're not interesting, it's just that I can't focus. And my guest this week is...
Oh, look, a bird!
My guest this week is a comic assassin. He is known for laying waste to audiences, as well as being one of the best warm-up men in the business and one of the finest hosts you can get. He's currently hosting the Talking Sopranos tour with friends of the show Steve Sciarippa and Michael Imperioli, as well as warming up the Drew Barrymore show. He is so good at his job, Rosie O'Donnell bought him a boat and gave him her Emmy. I admire him as an artist. I love him as a friend. And I'm not just saying that because he bailed me out of jail. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's my pal, Joey Cola. How are you, baby?
That's the only noise that could follow that intro.
That's funny.
Bailed him out of jail and Rosie gave him a boat.
Well, it's
true.
It's true. And there's the Emmy. Look at you.
It's a weapon too. Look at that.
I'll tell you what. First, we'll start with the story about how you bailed me out of jail.
Okay. I forget what gig was it. What gig were we working on?
I forget. We were at some gig upstate. All right, and we're driving home, and I had an 85 Turbo Coupe. I had a Thunderbird. And
yes, beautiful car, by the way.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. Something you wouldn't want anybody to ruin.
So we're driving home, and I got a busted headlight. And we get pulled over by a cop. And Joey, your brother, is on the job. So Joey leans over to me, and he says, "Hey, pal, I'll take care of this. My brother's on a job. I know how to talk to these cops. I don't want you to worry about a thing. You're with me." Okay, great. Cop comes up to the window, license and registration. Joey leans over and goes, "How are you, officer? I'm Joey Cola. My brother's on the job. But we know that there's a busted headlight. We know it's, and we'll get it fixed as soon as we can. I just want you to know that we are aware of the situation." Okay. Cop takes my license, goes back to the car, comes back. Says, "Mr. Ferrara, get out of the car. There's a warrant for your arrest." And Joey says, "Hey, I just met this guy, all right?"
I don't know him for 20 years.
I don't know him at all. I said, "Listen, I'm a respectable man. I got family in the police force. I got a garden. I grow mint. If you ever need, I'm here."
And basil.
So they lock me up. I'm handcuffed. They put me in the back of the car because I got a bench warrant.
Yes.
They don't know what it's for. So the cop says, "You have to," it's a little town upstate New York. He goes, "You have to drive his car to the station house." And Joey can't drive his stick.
No.
So I'm handcuffed in the back of the car, wondering why my freedom has been taken from me. And I see the one headlight going, because you're in first gear the whole time. And I smell my clutch burning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to jump from first to third. It doesn't work that way. Doesn't work. And there's a thing called RPMs.
Yeah.
It just kept going zing, 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 zing. And I heard a lot of grinding. I guess that's not good.
So, yeah. So I
had to drive your car to the precinct. We get there.
Mm-hmm.
They put you in jail.
Yep.
Everybody's calling everybody to try to get you out. I'm trying to call all my contacts to try to get you out of there. My brother's like, "There's nothing I can do." I'm like, "Don't you have a card on you or something? Can you call this in?" "Nothing I can do." "Nothing anybody could do." I called mafia cousins. I called everybody I could. I called the local fishmonger. I called everybody that I could call. I said, "Listen, we're stuck up here. We're in jail. So we're waiting around." And I see a poster. It says, "You can go rappelling."
Yeah.
I'm like, "What the hell is rappelling?" And from the cell, like, 20 yards away, it's rappelling, you moron. They go down the mountain. They rappel down the mountain. Why would anybody want to do that?
Yeah, you're having a conversation all by yourself.
Yeah, I was. I was all by myself there and there because they took you away, and I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought we were just going to wind up sleeping there. But by some miracle, they let you out, and I drove home. You shifted.
Yeah.
And you told me when to hit the clutch
and
the gas.
Yeah, that's how we got home.
I was in the neighborhood today because I was over on Woodbury Road in Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
I had a follow-up from my doctor because Monday, 3:30 in the morning, I had my appendix out.
Hey. Are you?
Look at that. Right there. They went in and over here. The appendix is over here, yet they went in here, here, and here to get something that's over here.
What? So, you're all right?
They pulled it out. Sunday, I'm okay now, but Sunday I started to feel bloated beyond what you saw.
Right.
And I had a lot of pain.
Mm-hmm.
So about 10 o'clock at night, my wife says, "We got to get one of those doctors on FaceTime." So we did that.
Right.
I was on for like a minute, and the guy goes, "You got to get to the ER now. Your appendix is about to explode." So we went over to Northwell in Plainview. They did a CAT scan and a blood test. My white blood cells were way up. Did the CAT scan. They said, "This thing is going to explode. It's not imminent, but it's going to explode." So I said, "If it's not imminent, can I go home and reschedule the surgery?"
Right.
So the guy goes, "Not imminent means you got 2 hours. In 2 hours, that thing is going to explode. We're going to have more problems. There's going to be poison all in your system." So I said, "All right." So that was 11:30, 12:30 at night. And then by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, they prepped me. By 3:30, the appendix was They were inside of me cutting it out. By 5:30, the operation was over. By 7:30, I was home Monday morning. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday was pain, big pain, you know. But my appendix is no longer. It ceases to exist.
Well, Joey, look, I'm not a doctor, but to me, that sounds imminent.
Yeah, it was pretty imminent. Pretty imminent, as imminent goes. Yeah, yeah, I thought it was imminent. So they took it out, and that was it. And I went to see a guy today over in Huntington, the guy who did the operation. Uh-huh. He said he had a polyp on there that was attached to it. They took that out. And he goes, how often do you get colonoscopies? I go, dude, you know, I'm a hypochondriac. Uh-huh. I get a colonoscopy more than I get my teeth cleaned. I get every 2 days I'm in there. Please, go ahead. I'll drink the stuff, poop it out, you know, whatever you need me to do. So I get a lot of colonoscopies now, and that's it.
That's how long we've known each other. And like I said in the intro, you're a friggin' comic assassin, man. I have seen you lay waste to audiences.
You are too. You know, we both came up in the same school.
Mm-hmm.
You were just a half a generation behind me, but we both learned from the best. It came from you. That's the way you survived. That's why you became a headliner. Is you gotta write an act that's going to be high energy, jokes, punchlines. That's what they're paying for. And if you're not, they're gonna move on to the next. And that's it. If you want to survive, you had to be that way.
Yeah, and that serves you well as far as warm up. I mean, like I said in the intro, you're the best in the business, man.
Thanks for saying that, man. And coming from you, that means the world to me because you're a killer. You know, we did a these people did a documentary recently, and I was in it about warm up comics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the producers, who's a comic, he said to me, and the other producer threw this question out. He said to me, you know, you're known as a room wrecker.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, how do you feel that the other comics call you a room wrecker? I said, well, I've never heard that term before,
mm-hmm.
and I don't really know what it means. He says, well, you know, by the time you're done, the audience is blah, 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 blah. I said, well, that's if wrecking a room is making people laugh, that's all I'm trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, but
make them laugh.
It's also knowing the room. I mean, that's the thing about, you know, the seller. You know, you get good quick because you're just following killers, you know. So being steeped in that water made me cut the fat really quick. But it's also the MC's job to bring everybody back and put it down. And you know, when we're tagging a show and when we're doing a show, you know, the guy's coming after you. So you give him a runway, you know, you give him a landing field.
Give him a runway. Yeah.
You did that for me at the brokerage. You came by to say hello because I was headlining. You went up, you brought me up. We had a connection. It's what you do when you know your worth and know who you are and know where you are. When you're a young comic, you just want to beat the shit out of everybody, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's very few audience members. I think they're becoming more savvy now to the conditions in a room while a comedy show is operating. Like, they used to come and just sit and eat their potato skins and drink their beer and hope you say something that makes them laugh. But now they're learning the mechanics of a good stand-up comedy show, the way it's produced, high energy comics, low energy comics. The MC comes in, like you said, brings the tone here, but also gives you that little ramp where the next person can jump on and take those laughs and keep on going.
Yeah.
And if the tempo of the room changes, that MC has got to come back and change it back to neutral, if you will, you know, which is something, the gear that I did not hit when I was driving your car that night. I actually hit reverse at a second gear twice before I hit neutral. I can still smell it.
Oh.
I still got shavings on my hand from that metallic powder. So,
well, let me ask you this. How did you get, I mean, like I said, you know, this is one of the best warm-ups in the business. How did you get into that aspect of our job?
Right. So years ago, there was a guy named Barry Segunda who was managing John Stewart at the time.
Yeah.
And his sister was my agent at Abrams, I think it was, Ruth Ann Segunda.
Uh-huh.
So Jeff Sussman was managing me at the time. So they were friends. Uh-huh. And I think Barry Segunda or Ruth Ann said something to Jeff, or do you have any high energy comics that can come and warm up the John Stewart show? And it wasn't It wasn't the political show. He had his own show on WOR, Channel 9. It was a variety show, a Channel 9 show. Mm-hmm. And we shot it where Wendy Williams is now, on 26th Street, ironically, above where Rachel is now, at All Mobile. And for a year, you know, I knew John from the clubs, you know. Mm-hmm. I used to work the city clubs with John. And, you know, and my generation was like, you know, Mario Cantone and Leary and Eddie Brill and, you know, all those people, Ray and Romano and those people. So that was that time when I was in the city. I was one of the few Long Island comics that would work the city because Peter Bales told me you got to do the city. So I would drive in and I had a beat up old Toyota Corolla and I'd leave it at the Stand Up New York on 78th Street. And I'd leave the keys in it and say Ray had to go over to Catch or the Improv or whatever, or Eddie Brill or Mario Cantone or whatever, whoever needed the car. I'd say the car's got to be back in front of Catch by 2 o'clock in the morning, whoever you give the keys to. And I would do that a bunch of times and they would just bang the car around the city. You know, it would be a Catch or the Improv at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I did those city clubs, and that's how I met John, John Stewart. And as soon as Jeff talked to Barry Segunda, I said, I got this guy, Joey Cola. So John said, yeah, I know Joey Cola from the clubs. Let's do it. So I did that show for a year, and it was a pretty cool show. Uh-huh. That was at 93, I think it was. Yeah, because my son was just born. And I did that show for a year. And then after that, I did the cruise ships. I did the road. Mm-hmm. I did that big comedy convention that Bud Friedman had at the Riviera. Well, it was right. it was the Improv at the time. It was in the Riviera. And then I almost had a nervous breakdown doing the cruise ships. I got cruise ship stories that'll blow your mind. and then 1996, Daniel Kellison was a producer on the David Letterman show. Mm-hmm. I was doing my Letterman spot. But he handed it over to Zoe Friedman. She became my producer because Daniel Kellison was going with Rosie to start the Rosie O'Donnell show. Mm-hmm. So they used a few other comics and writers to do warm-up. It didn't work. The show started June 10th, 1996, but I didn't come on until June 13th, 1996. Mm-hmm. So Rosie knew me from the clubs, you know, because I would MC a lot and keep high energy. So Rosie, somehow my name came up with Daniel Kellison, said, it's called Joey. So I did my Letterman spot June 13th, 1996. And as I was leaving the Ed Sullivan Theater, Sussman's cell phone rang, the big cell phone, like he's a rat patrol or something, you know. So the cell phone rings and it's Rosie and Kellison. And they said, could Joey come in tomorrow and warm up the show? So I said, what kind of the show is it going to be? At that point, it was Sally, Jesse, Raphael, and Geraldo throwing chairs. I said, mm-hmm. I don't want to be involved in that. So Rosie got on the phone. She said, no, I want it very Merv Griffin, very Mike Douglas, but mm-hmm. we're going to add an element of fun. We're going to give gifts to the audience, and I really want you to keep it like a comedy club on a Saturday night having fun. I said, I could do that. Mm-hmm. So I went in and did it, and that was the beginning of, the long stretch of warm-up, and now that was 28 years ago.
Yeah. I remember when I did the Rosie show, they cut to you because I told the story how you bailed me out of jail and they were cutting to you and you were sitting there laughing.
And
Rosie never knew that about you. And then I remember walking out. I said, Rosie, you know, I was the one that went to jail, not Joey. Don't hold this against me.
Yeah. But it was Rosie was a groundbreaking show. You know, it was she did things that nobody else did. She pulled that black curtain around the whole 8G up there, you know, where right down the hall from SNL. And she was able to do Broadway shows there. She put a RoboCam on a track that was on the ceiling before anybody else did. She gave away. She started giving away stuff under the seat and ring dings and milk and stuff like that. And, you know, Oprah says, you get a car on that. She's known for that. But Rosie started all of that. Nobody was giving away gifts to the audience until Rosie started it because she was so generous, you know. And I got to, you know, when I talk about Rosie, I'm very, it hits my heart a lot because she's a very smart person and the most generous person I've ever met. And she, because of her, I'm involved in 34 different charities because she taught me how to do that. Like one day I come in and I got into 30 Rock at about 7:15 for an 8 o'clock meeting and I'm early. And she was there too, walking down the hallway and she looked, Dutta Shangan. He was a mess. So I look at her and I go, hey, Big Shot, where were you last night? Out with your Broadway friends at Joe Allen's? She goes, no, I couldn't sleep. So I went to Sloan and wrote checks.
Sloan Kettering.
I couldn't sleep, so I went to Sloan Kettering and wrote checks.
Yeah.
But that's what she would do. If she couldn't sleep, she'd get the checkbook incognito, go to the waiting room at Sloan Kettering and find families that are in need and distraught,
mm-hmm.
and write them $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $5,000, whatever. A couple of friends of ours that are comedians who had run-ins with cancer and stuff got checks from her. So so the ultimate in generosity and knowledge and stuff and real passion. You know, I learned a lot from her. And, you know, I was with her for 6 years, and then I was with Martha Stewart for 7 years. And then in between, I was with AGT, with Howard Stern, and Howard Stern's birthday party, and Tom Papa and Seinfeld hired me for the marriage ref, and I've been with Rachel Ray for 11 years, and now I just started the Drew Barrymore thing 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. I want to go back. I want to go back to Rosie, because she did, when you said with the generosity. I mean, when she like retired the show, she bought you a boat.
Last episode, she said, and everybody knew this except for me and Donna Richards, who's a wardrobe person. She's wardrobe for SNL and has been and still is now. But Donna dressed Rosie, and I warmed up the crowd. And I knew Rosie from the clubs. I used to drive Rosie to gigs at Eastside and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So when we did the show, at the end of the show, she found out from my friend Kenny Decker, rest his soul, great cameraman. He had a sailboat, and him and I would go to the Javits Center in between shows or after Rosie's show, and I'd say, someday I'm going to get a boat, someday. And Rosie took the time to find out from my wife and my friends at the show, what does Joey really want? So Kenny said, I know Joey, if he could have a boat, he would have a boat. So what kind of boat? So he goes, I'll find out. So he took me to the Javits Center, to the boat show, and he walked me around, and we would look at every kind of boat. And I said, man, I'd like a 23-foot center console pro line with a T-top and this engine, a 200 Merc on the back, because I'm a fisherman, yet I got to have a head for the kids to go to the bathroom. Anyway, she goes and gets me that boat. And she calls, I have it on a VHS tape somewhere, but in the middle of the show, she called me over and Donna Richards over.
Mm-hmm.
She said, we're going to play a game or some kind of game or whatever. And whoever gets more points gets a prize. And I don't know what the hell's going on. We're live.
Right.
We're live. So she says, Joey, did you ever win an Emmy Award? I said, well, we get the plaque. There's no category for warm-up guy or wardrobe at that point. There still isn't. And I get a plaque. And I got, like, you know, a bunch of plaques from her show. At that point, I had four or five plaques. But I never got the statue that everybody else gets, you know. So she said, Donna, what about you? Same thing, you know. So she says, well, today we're not playing a game. We won for best show and best host. And she pulls out those two Emmy Awards and she goes, I want you guys to have these. And she gave us these statues. And here's the statue right here.
Oh.
And then she says, you guys have been so loyal to me. And I know I kind of, you know, in so many words that the producers and stuff get bonuses and this and that, but you guys don't really get that. So he says, Donna, I bought you a PT Cruiser. That's how long ago it was.
Right.
A car, gave the car to Donna Richards. And then, Joey, I got you a boat. And it was my dream boat. And it was, I never thought I'd ever own a boat because I've been driving minivans and all my money went into my wife and my kids and my family. You know me.
I'm
not selfed up. I don't have a money goal in my life. It's happiness and love is what I strive for. So I would never have bought myself this boat, but she gave me the boat. And I felt like I'd been shot in a good way, you know? And I started crying, and it was just the greatest thing. You know, it was the greatest day, and it was live. So my friend John Cifelli, who owned a marina out in Islip on the Connecticut River, I didn't even leave 30 Rock. And my cell phone rings. I had the big cell phone, and it rings, or the flip phone or whatever. And he goes, the first words he said was, I've already got your slip waiting. He goes, I already got a slip for you. So we had the boat for like 5-6 years and the engine crapped out and I sold it.
Right.
But it was a great 5 or 6 years with my kids. We had the banana boat. We went out fishing and saw whales and, you know, it was the greatest experience and it was the greatest thing. And that's how generous she is. I mean, that was all out of her own pocket.
Yeah.
You know, there was no, There was no having some sponsor come in and give me a boat or, you know what I mean? It was like out of her own pocket. I mean, you know, Rosie was the type that in between shows, if we were hungry and the control room wanted sushi, she had sushi delivered into the control room. I mean,
yeah,
that's just the way it was. Like if we had Tommy Hilfiger on the show, she'd say to him before the show, all right, so what are you bringing for my staff? And we'd have khakis out the wazoo. So, you know, that's the Rosie O'Donnell. I mean, I got like that with Martha Stewart, but I had a lot of fun times with her too. She was just very tricky and playful, you know. Martha was after I did Rosie then for 6 years, Martha for 7 years, and some shows in between. I did the Jane Pauley show in between, which is very serious. And then it wasn't the hijinks and everything because it was more as a news oriented show. But Martha, one day, we were doing a yoga segment, and in the rehearsal, there's a thing, a metal thing that you put against the wall and you bend over and put your head in and you could be upside down against the wall doing a headstand or a handstand. So in the rehearsal, Martha did it, you know. So we go live in about an hour. We're on live television, NBC, 11 o'clock in the morning. So the yoga lady goes, okay, Martha, you know, do the upside down thing. And so she goes, well, I'm not doing that, Joey. Come over and do it. So on live television, there I am with my belly hanging out over my face. I'm wearing white socks and sneakers up to my knees. My khakis fall down around my crotch. And you just see my shriveled up ET looking knees. And it was the most, but my face was so red. Like I looked like I was going to pop. So that was, but Martha would do that kind of stuff with me. And I'd dress up for Halloween with her and all kinds of stuff. But it was, you know, it's always been a lot of fun. I try to make, you know, when I'm doing stand-up, it's my show.
Yeah.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Joey Cole. But when I'm doing warm-up, I'm a small piece of a giant puzzle.
Sure.
I'm a small, you know, cog in the machine that helps it go, you know. So I'm the butler. I'm the rodeo clown. I got to, like, set it up, the MC, to set up the show to make sure it flows from segment to segment. And we seamlessly go from a cooking segment to a song to someone telling a serious story to a human interest thing or whatever, you know. And I'm going into my 11th season with Rachel, 11th with Rachel, and my first with Drew, because now she's got a live audience in studio.
Yeah, Rachel, I see Rachel. When I did the show, I did it with Leary and Lenny. So when we did that, I got to see you there. And she's very generous, too, with the firefighters. I mean, she was there. Oh. She was there for a check. And she was there when we did the training session at the Rock, with the training facility.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Hardcore. Rachel's hardcore. She's as generous as Rosie, like another generous person to humans and animals and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's another one that cuts to the chase. What do you need? How can I help you? Let's get the job done now. And I've never seen anybody do as much work and work as hard as her. Like, we do three shows a day there, sometimes four. That's unheard of. Like, most shows, if they can get 13, 14 segments out, that's a lot. We, on an average, do 21 segments at Rachel, sometimes 22, 23, you know?
Yeah. Well, you also have that generous spirit as well. So I am not surprised at all that you fell in with like-minded people, because every benefit on Long Island, I just want the audience to know, Long Island, it was the last sense of community when stand-up, I think, was our generation. You know, after us, there really wasn't a sense of community. But anytime anybody needed anything in a neighborhood, we would get a call. And it was usually from Joey. It was like, hey, this family's having problems. Come on down to Governor's. And then it got a little ridiculous. Like, listen, my cousin's niece needs a denim jacket to start school. We're going to do a benefit.
Yeah. The one I heard from comics the most was, I'm part of this program where we raise quails to fight ticks.
Right.
Because I almost died of a tick. I had Rocky Mountain fever when I was 9 and almost killed me. So I have a vendetta against ticks.
You're Italian. Of course you have a vendetta.
Of course. So with this guy, Eric Powers from the seed program, we raise bobwhite quails because they used to be ground nesting birds, pheasants, quails, things like that. Ruffed grouse used to be native to Long Island, and they'd eat their body weights in ticks. And now ticks are running rampant, and there's Lyme, there's Powassan, there's Lone Star, there's all these different tick diseases. So about 10 years ago, the guy was in the audience at Martha, and we hit it off. And now we have the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts and kindergarten and first graders. They get the eggs from Murray McMurray Farms out in Tennessee or Utah, wherever it is, and they hatch them. They give the babies to us. We raise them to adults, and we release them at Kellam Smith State Park out in Smithtown. And now it's all over Long Island. Mm-hmm. So we release these quails that eat the ticks on Fire Island and Queens, wherever there's ticks. Now, the mortality rate is about 85% because cats and hawks and everything eats these quails. Mm-hmm. So I had to tap into some comedians. What's his benefit for, Joey? Is someone dying? Somebody got leukemia? Nah, we need to raise quails to get rid of ticks. And Tim Gage looked at me like, are you out of your mind? People starve. And I go, yeah, but we need to get rid of these ticks. I'm telling you, it's going to help us in the long run. I get a vendetta against these things. So now we raise money to raise quails to get rid of ticks now, too.
That's
You know me, I'm deeply spiritual. Believe
I know.
Me, I'm no saint. I'm no saint at all.
Nope.
I know. Of course you know. But I try to keep to the tenets of, Buddhism and Hinduism. I read the Torah, the Quran, as well as the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. And the one thing that resonates, what I try to live my life by, is when Christ said, he who does for the least of my brethren, he does it for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I help somebody, I'm not doing it for me or that person in particular. I'm doing it for God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get healed by your own works. You do those good works in that you believe and give over that he'll give you his grace.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on because we're all here for a half hour, whether it's 9 years or 90 years, we're here for a half hour and we move on.
Yeah.
I don't go the heavy religion stuff or the Pope or deep into it. But, I'm a simple guy. I make people laugh. I raise butterflies. I plant plants and I feed birds. That's it.
I'm done.
That's it. Simple as that. And if I can make the money to pay the bills to making people laugh,
that's
all I can do. I mean, after this, I'm a landscaper. I might go work in an arboretum. But today, I took my daughter. She was in a bad way. We went to the water. We got some clams. And I take the barbs off the hook so we don't hurt the fish.
Uh-huh.
And we catch blowfish, the puffer fish.
Yeah, yeah.
We caught a bunch of them today. And then we just fed the fish. We were on a dock until two rats ran behind us. Middle of the day, rats ran behind us. So my daughter goes, well, that's the end of today's trip. So, I mean, during the day when you got two rats run up behind you, I go, yeah, you know what? We're out of here. So, two of the rats, a couple of clams, and got out of there.
So how did you meet Michael and Steve and become part of the Talking Sopranos tour?
Well, I know Steve for a long time because he used to book the Riviera Comedy Club.
That's where
I
met him.
Working there for 25, 30 years we've been working there. And when my kids were little and I needed to work, he gave me a lot of work there. I met Colin there, and Colin came to see me there. We became friends and stuff. So I knew Steve back way before he was a real actor,
mm-hmm.
before he started getting bit parts. So I knew him then, and I met Mike Imperioli through that. But when the Sopranos started doing live show tours, and with Gandolfini, and with Tony Sirico and a bunch of them, they'd bring me along to either host it or do 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
And that's been going on for over 20 years. So now that the show is kind of, everybody's gone their own separate ways, and there's Soprano Con or the Mob Con or whatever, these guys wanted to keep true to themselves and do a little bit of a different show, more mm-hmm. of a stage show, more intricately about the workings of what the actors had to do to get to a certain place. Rather than just, how you doing? I have a meatball hero with you.
Yeah.
Like that type of thing. We wanted to talk about the intricacies of the show and they wanted to answer questions about what was in David Chase's mind when certain scenes were shot,
mm-hmm.
and certain actors were, the reasons why the stories came together as they did. What was the ideas behind the five episodes that Mike directed and wrote, and the inner workings of the Sopranos as they see it, you know, which is really, really interesting. You wouldn't believe some of the questions that the audience has. Of course, they want to know about the Pine Barrens episode, and they want to know about, you know, the song at the end, and why didn't Tony kill the guy who raped Melfi? Mm-hmm. You know, like this basic questions. But there are also intricate questions about the scenes themselves, the episodes themselves, and how they had to get to a certain place as an actor. And those questions are answered in the live show. Plus, we have a lot of fun. I mean, there's jokes about everything. Vinny Pastore is with us too, you know? So it's, we're fooling around. They make fun of me. I make fun of them. We got clips of Tony Sirico with the wing-o-meter. Mm-hmm. Sometimes his silver wings were this high. Sometimes they were that high, you know, and all the things that Tony Sirico did.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like you know, only him and Grandpa Munster were the only ones to actually have those silver wings. You know, so by the time we're done, we turn the Q&A over to the audience. By the time we're done, it was very informative. But the main thing is it's a lot of laugh.
I tell you, the guys, I listened to the podcast and I had them both on the show and I really, really enjoyed it. If people want to know.
They love you. They speak very highly of you.
Oh, that's very kind of them. Let me ask you this. Where can people go to get the information if they want to go see the tour?
TalkingSopranos.com.
TalkingSopranos.com. All right.
Yeah. Just go right there. And anything Talking Sopranos, anything that has to do with their podcast, just Google their podcast. It'll take you right to the site, and all the dates are right there. Yeah.
I love you, man. I can't thank you enough for doing this. And I'm glad.
Are we done already? Oh, my God. I wanted to sit for 3 more hours with you. I love you, too, brother. I really do. And as I just want your audience to know that I love you so much. That when my son was born, my daughter is 30, my son's 28. When my son was born, we were in the room, in the delivery room, the baby was crowning. Okay, that's where we were.
Uh-huh.
And I look at my wife, and she looks at me, and we're going, what are we going to name this kid? And we have all these Italian relatives that want to name this and that, blah, blah, blah. And she looks at me, and she goes, didn't you just work with Adam Ferrara? I said, yeah. I love Adam Ferrara. And my wife goes, I love Adam Ferrara. Let's name him Adam. Adam Ferrara. My son's name, my almost had a middle name of Ferrara, by the way. So we were like, we both, as my wife has given birth, we were both so in love with you at that moment of love that we said, we're naming him Adam. So my son's name Adam because of you.
That means the world to me, my friend. I really hope we get to see each other and laugh again soon.
I hope so, my friend. Yeah, I hope so. Because we got I can't drink Corona. I can't fly Delta. If they come out with a Hershey variant, I'm really screwed.
You're beautiful, baby. Give everybody a big kiss from me and best to you and the family.
You too. All right, man.
The ADD interview was brought to you by CruiseIntoWellness.com. CruiseIntoWellness.com for all your CBD needs. Now, let's say you go to the doctor and he says you have to have your appendix out, but it's not imminent.
Not imminent means you got 2 hours. In 2 hours, that thing's going to explode. There's going to be poison all in your system.
This could cause you a little anxiety. So do what I do. Take one of the gummies they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com. They also got other edibles. They got tinctures, pain creams, bath products. My wife loves the bath bomb. My dog loves the pet products. And you're going to love the fact that you get 20% off with the coupon code ADAM. Yes, 20% off anything they have at CruiseIntoWellness.com. Go feel better.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
My name is Joey Kohler, and that was 30 minutes. I'll never get that.
I had so much fun catching up with
Adam. What did you get arrested for?
Yeah, you left that out.
Right. Yes.
It wasn't anything I did. It was okay.
Sure, never is.
Yeah. I'm innocent.
Your Honor. Your Honor.
It wasn't me. I swear.
I'm a victim of circumstance.
That's what they all say, Adam.
Yeah. Well, I had a bench warrant. They needed to speak with me on a matter. I got a speeding ticket. I paid the speeding ticket because I'm a good citizen. But then I moved. And when I moved, I switched my bank. So by the time the state got the check and they went to cash it, that account wasn't there anymore. So I bounced the check on the state. Apparently, I passed some bad paper inadvertently.
Okay, we'll let that slip because everybody makes a mistake. But yep. You have to leave the money in the bank.
No,
so
I
things clear.
I know that now.
Yeah. Sure
now. Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay,
so,
good
so
enough.
That's what happened. So Joey bailed me out, and that's how it happened. We went home, and that was it.
Okay, well, then answer me this. Why did Joey have to drive you home?
Because Joey's a pain in the ass, okay? Here's why.
I thought you just didn't have your license.
No, I didn't, but I was like, who's going to see us, Joey? He's like, we get pulled over. I'm not going through this again.
Hey, don't blame him.
I'm getting home to my family. I'm not going. Like, it's a traumatic thing he's got to go through again. He's like, I'm an upstanding member of society. Okay, fine. So he's driving home, stepping on the clutch, and I'm shifting, telling him when to hit the gas, and that's how we got home. I'm not kidding. Over the George Washington Bridge, stepping and shifting. This is what I'm doing.
Does he know how to drive one now?
Well, he does, but I have to be there.
No FaceTiming?
No, nothing.
I just love when Joey Kohler gets excited, he becomes Mickey Mouse in Adam's head.
Yeah, high pitched voice.
It does, you know.
And he even did it.
I can't drive a stick. Oh,
what a wonderful guy. I really love hearing you guys talk. And I'll tell you, one of the things that stood out for me, among a lot of things, I did not realize that about Rosie O'Donnell and the charity. Like, she's like, can't sleep, gonna go to Sloan Kettering and write checks to people who are in need. Yeah. Like, that was just one of the coolest things I have ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a wonderful person. I can't sleep. I get up and eat ice cream. That's what I
do. Yep. Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, one of those people that you meet and they're just, I don't know, something about them makes you happy?
Yeah, they're called drug dealers.
No, Adam. Just people who have a naturally high spirit, high energy, and you just want to be around.
Yeah.
That to me is Joey.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
You can tell it just pours out, and it's a perfect job for him to be with people because people want to be around him, and he's quick on his feet with his thinking,
and
he's
a
funny
killer. He's just a killer. I've seen him lay waste to audiences, and he brings you into his personal life. He's got a moment in his act where he's riffing, he's complaining about something, he's riffing, and then the line comes out of his mouth, and my brother-in-law's an asshole!
Beautiful.
Yeah, dude, there's a couple things about, you know, when I saw he was the guest, I'm really excited because I do love him. He's just a great, great guy. I haven't seen him in a long time, but when I first met him, and you labeled him perfectly, he is a comic assassin. He really is. And let me tell you something about him. When he tells you he's going to do something, he does it. That's Joey Kohler. And, you know, I saw evidence of that when we worked together. He said, call me when you get to New York and I'll hook you up. You know, people say that all the time. And I went to New York about 6 months later and I called him and he did exactly what he said. He told me he would do. He got me in with the brokerage. He got me in with Richie. I mean, the only reason I survived in New York was because of Joey Kohler. I don't know if he knows that, but I love him and I'm very grateful to him.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
Yeah.
It's another person that you've talked to, Adam, that I have never met in my life. And it's going to be awkward if I ever meet Joey because there's going to be a big bear hug coming because he's just a wonderful guy. I mean, everything about positivity and funny and just
everything you love about being around a guy, you know?
Yeah,
just,
but
everything
the,
they.
But here's the thing: is like I know him, I love him, but one day he's going to pick up an axe and just wipe people out.
Because... yeah, that's true too.
See, he's the guy. He's got that positive guy, and if you needed help or something, he would. He would. Okay, look, I'll help you move the body, but you know, I don't want to be implicated. And I hate friggin' ticks. You hear me? There better not be any ticks on that body.
He was traumatized as a little kid, and then he ends up helping a quail.
Yeah, he does a charity to raise quail to kill the ticks.
I'll show you, you sons of bitches. I'm going to be positive and help the birds that's going to eat your ass.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, setting him free and eating all the ticks.
Yeah, that's right. But Joey does charity stuff. We used to get calls all the time. Mm-hmm. We got to do another charity. And we all did it because we all got to.
We all loved him.
Yeah, we all loved him. Yeah. And it was a community. And Joey put the bat signal up. So we're all going to show up.
Yeah.
And he would bring us bags of mint and basil from his garden.
Oh,
yeah. That's him. He's that big, lovable guy. And you need that. You need that persona and you need that energy to do warm up. That's the hardest friggin' job in the world. I did warm up on my own show for a pilot we shot for ABC. I would have fired me. I was like, I can't do this. I thought it'd be, I'll do some stand up for the crowd and it would loosen me up. Get the hell out of here. Do this.
Well, yeah, you have to shine amongst the people, not like a stage with lights and all that, but you're in with the people and you're hanging out with the people and you're keeping their attention.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah.
Let me tell you something from a guy who's done warm up. I did warm up for the Mickey Mouse Club for 4 seasons at Disney MGM. For kids. Mm-hmm. I used to get notes from Disney at the end of the day. You said God. You can't say God. Really? Three Mouseketeers are getting high backstage. I can't say God. Really? Dude, it's a tough gig. And Joey is really, I've seen him do it. He's really good at it. And it's not, you know, I got fired from the Wheel of Fortune for spinning the wheel.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, it was, nobody was there. It was off. There wasn't any shooting going on. I saw the, we just wanted to see what it was like to spin the wheel. What's the big deal? I can't spin the wheel. Everybody spins the wheel.
You know,
apparently
so
it is
funny.
A big deal.
Yeah. You guys, it is a big deal. And everybody would get away with it except Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so true.
That wheel's been spun 8 million times. I spin it. I'm going to fuck up the wheel with one spin.
You know what's great? Phil's on this stage, but you don't realize, Phil, you're the help. They look at you as the help.
Yeah, you're right.
Warm-up, stand-ups, comics are either on stage or in the way. That's, you know.
That's exactly right, dude. You're kind of a peon. You are. You're kind of
a peon. Yeah, we're talking mimes. That's what we are.
Yeah, that's right. Joey transcended what he does. He's like the Babe Ruth of warm-ups. There's no doubt about that.
That's the kind of guy he is. He works so hard for you. He's all in. He's there when you need him. Rosie recognized what a valuable member of the show he was. Mm-hmm. And she gave him a freaking Emmy and bought him a boat.
That blew me away. She bought him a boat. Man, Mark, listen, just between you and me, when I come see you, take me to a car show. I want to show you the car that I want Adam to get.
Okay. I think we need a new warm-up act for the show.
I think, they're getting a little demanding, Adam.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Adam, while I'm thinking about it, and Alex, thank you so much for that boat. I mean, I don't even have a place to put it. That's just, I mean, it's really, it's almost too much.
All out. I got a guy that's got a slip.
And I can't accept the car. That's just too much. The boat and the car is too much, honestly.
that was Adam's idea.
Well, I want you know, it's just because I don't want Mark to think he's the help. I don't want him to.
And by the way, Phil, here's a room freshener.
we wanted to give you something you can use.
It's a plug-in.
Is it at least shaped like a car?
Yeah, it's shaped like a car. Everyone on the boat's going to thank us. Trust me.
Adam, you know what really struck me?
What?
They named their baby after you.
Oh, yeah. And why are you laughing?
Well, that's a lot of pressure.
It's not pressure. It's like, you know what it is.
Like, you have to be an upstanding person. You know, you can't, you know, that kid is going to say, who are you named after? Oh, Adam.
Thank you.
They're going to Google you.
Great, thanks. Great. She married me, waiting for the other shoe to drop. This is what I got?
You're not understanding the wounded animal part.
Okay. Apparently I'm a wounded animal.
Yeah.
It is a lot of pressure, and I'm glad that Joe and his wife recognized the value that I put into the world and wanted to name their child after it. I think that was great. And what's going to help us in the future, honey, I'm knocking on his door if things go bad. Look, kid, I set an example, and now I need to wet my beak a little bit. You know what? I'll give you a couple of pearls, kid. Split eights. 16's a lousy hand. Oh, man. If you're going to write what you know and marry a person that loves animals, because I find them to be very warm people. They're annoying, but you got to put up with it. I want to thank Joey Cole for being my guest. Talking Sopranos tour is out now. You can go to talkingsopranos.com for all the dates. Honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for spreading the word about the show. Tell somebody you love about it. That'll help us out. And if you leave us a review, that helps us with our friend,
Mr. Algorithm.
Please remember, life is hard. You take it easy on yourself. The pod has ended. Go in peace. So I get a text, all capitals, bird flu. And right away, I'm thinking, oh, my God, my wife has the bird flu.
the avian flu. Yeah. Oh, no.
I'm like, now we got to deal with this. The pandemic wasn't enough. Now my wife has the bird flu.
And her husband has terminal stupidity.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.